We tend in sometimes in popular imagination or in thinking about history to associate things with individual dates. Independence happened on July 4th. That's almost never the case. Independence and the proclamation of independence, the achievement of independence, are a long process that had points along the way. In 1763, the colonists and the British began debating their relationship over taxes and expansion. But that's based on 150 years of previous stuff. In April of 1775, to no one's delight or no one's intention, a war broke out between the British authorities and the colonists. No one particularly wanted a war. They wanted their grievances resolved. As the conflict dragged on, people began wondering, what are we fighting for? They began to be more upset with the British intransigence to deal with their grievances. Any military conflict tends to polarize things. And the idea began, first among a very small group of people, we should be independent. We should be our own country, solve our own problems. And so by June of 1776, Richard Henry Lee, at the instruction of the Virginia House of Burgesses, introduced a resolution into the Continental Congress that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. As in any legislative body, a committee had to be appointed. Do we want to do that? How do we do that? Can we do that? Because the delegates were delegates. They represented their states. They didn't think they could act without instructions. So
it makes sense.
They went home. They went back to their boarding houses and they wrote, here's the deal. Independence has been suggested. These are my thoughts. Please let me know how we should proceed. And so from June the 7th into the end of June, the very beginning of July, votes are held with varying permutations, but never unanimous because not everyone has their instructions. New York is reluctant. Pennsylvania is somewhat reluctant. Georgia and South Carolina are slow to respond. And so finally, on July 2nd, the motion was brought to the floor and voted on and carried. I think 12 states voted for independence. New York abstained because they were still waiting instructions. John Adams wrote at that time, "Forever after, the 2nd of July will be celebrated with parades and picnics and illuminations as the great holiday."
July 2nd.
July 2nd. But then they said, well, we have to explain this. So they put into high gear a committee that had been working behind the scenes with Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, and a couple of others to draft an explanation for why we have declared independence. And that draft was approved on July 4th. It was pretty clear in June, fairly quickly, that yes, the majority of the colonies are for independence, but we really need to get, you know, we can't do this by a vote of 7-6, we declare ourselves independent. You know, that New Yorker cartoon, by a vote of 5-4, the board of directors sends their get well greetings. It's just not real sincere. You know, you need to have, you know, as much unanimity as you can. And New York does eventually, very quickly, by the way, come on board. So on July 4th, they approved the draft. John Hancock probably signed it.
Why do you say probably?
Because there is no documentation. The copy that they approved is not the copy that's in the National Archives. The copy that they approved has been lost because it was sent to the printer to have typeset to print up copies. And John Dunlop, and he was the official printer for the Continental Congress, he may or may not have even taken time to read it. So it's set by hand. Copies are printed. Those copies become available on July 8th. And the Congress orders a public reading of the Declaration, which people are anxious for. And so the bells are tolled to bring people together. And the Declaration is read when in the course of human events it becomes necessary. And the whole document is read to a small gathering in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, they decide that they really should have a permanent copy. So several things happen. One, John Hancock actually writes a series of letters to the various revolutionary committees of correspondence and various official bodies you know, dear sir, attached, please find the latest action of the Continental Congress regarding our situation with the English. Please arrange to have this read in public at your earliest convenience. And that goes out through the trade routes. It's put on ships, you know, get it on the next boat going to New York, get it on the next boat going to Boston, get it on the next boat going to Charleston. And then the newspapers, of course, pick it up. And they think, yeah, people probably want to read this. And so they set it, and then it goes out from all of the ports, and then it goes out, well, next time you're sending stuff out to Worcester from Boston, put it on the wagon and drop a copy off. You know, because the various newspaper editors all exchange copies of their newspapers with one another. And so it spreads out through the trade network and the newspaper network. At the same time, this engrossed copy is being made. We know Washington had it read to the troops in Massachusetts, where he had just taken command. He assembled the army, and it was read out loud. Other cities, as it was received, it would be read out loud, posted in taverns, appear in the local newspapers. Copies were sent to Europe. British officials in New York got a copy, sent it to George III. He was not amused. The King of France was less than thrilled. Though they later became our friends, he never allowed the publication of the Declaration of Independence. He was willing to send French troops to help America win their independence, but he did not want the people of France hearing...
Get wind of it, huh?
Get wind of this all men are created equal thing. That was not going to go in his kingdom.
Yeah.
It was translated into German in Switzerland, and widely distributed in Europe and the world. Because the Declaration, in the end, is addressed not to the American people, and it's not addressed to the king or parliament. It's addressed to the world. A due regard for the opinion of mankind requires that they set forth their reasons. And if you read the Declaration, if after the beginning, which sets off the principles, it's a long list of the things the king has done that have pushed them to this point. Here's why we are rebelling. Here's why we are declaring our independence. He hath done this, and he hath done that. A lot of those grievances were the things that had been building up in the previous years. They even blamed the king for slavery in the Declaration. So some of it's perhaps less than fair. It was important because here are these people who have taken up arms against their king, and, you know, who are threatening to overthrow the normal order of things. They need and want the support of other countries.
They want good PR.
Yeah, they want people to know, no, we're not doing this for light or transient reasons. We're doing this because of substantive violations of our basic rights as human beings. And so July 8th would have been the first time that these ideas in their form were shared with the American people or any subset of the world. Prior to that, they had been within a relatively small group. And because there are various versions, there actually are some areas where there are differences in the text. All of the texts are not exactly the same. Now, in terms of signing, when I say John Hancock may have signed, some people argue that, or have suggested that on July 4th, some people signed in addition to Hancock. But since we don't have that copy, we don't really know. And no one, interestingly, mentioned it in their diary or their letters home.
Isn't that fascinating?
They mentioned the weather. And they mentioned, oh, yes, we approved the Declaration. You know, we approved it. We approved independence. But, you know, no one says, and I signed it with my, you know. But we do know that on August the 8th, the engrossed copy, which is the current copy that's in the National Archives in the special glass enclosed capsule with, I think it's got the argon gas to preserve it, that Hancock and others did sign that beginning on August 8th, and most of them signed it on August 8th. At least one person was allowed to sign in November when he joined the Congress and requested permission to sign.
Neat.
And it was voted by the others that, yes, he could sign. Interestingly, among the people who didn't sign is George Washington. Washington was busy. He was with the army, trying to keep the army in the field and the British at bay and to assure independence by military success. He was not there at the meeting that approved independence, although I think we can assume he would have voted yes had he been there. Washington is the indispensable person in the whole history of the revolution. I'm a big fan of George Washington. I think he is, you know, one of the greatest of our leaders, if not the greatest, but one of the greatest men who ever lived. But so when we ring the bells, or when Murray rings its bells, it'll be sort of to remind us of our beginnings. When, you know, small, very small country, maybe 3 or 4 million people, maybe, max, took on the greatest military power in the world, and the British War. There's no question about that. They had a huge navy. They had an army that had just defeated the French with this other great power. And to defend basic principles of equality, rights, and to be consulted by your government, they were willing to stand up and create a, you know, one of the only countries in the world, whatever else you say, that's based upon an idea. We're not the people of a certain land, and we're not the people of a certain language group. We're the people who believe that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And government is created to ensure those rights. And that's what our country's about. And when those bells rang, that was the first time for most average Americans where they actually could see it in writing in one place and then and say, that's right. That's what we're about.
Bill, thank you.
You're welcome.